Hey Ruben, could you bring me some of those Verve flyers? All right, just wanted to mention this real quick before we get started. You guys probably saw these Verve postcards on the back table. There's a whole bunch of those that we bought for you guys to be passing out at your school. To all your friends, we've got like over 2,000 of these, okay? So this is next weekend, so make sure you grab a whole bunch of these off the table. In fact, Ruben, would you go ahead and make sure there's plenty of them back there? So when you guys are exiting, grab some of these flyers, all right? Verve is going to be amazing. So that's next Saturday. But let's get on to our Bible study tonight. If you're not already turned there, open up to 1 Peter chapter 1. That's in the New Testament towards the end. If you don't know where it's at, look it up in the front of your Bible. And then also, I want to encourage you guys to make sure to be bringing your Bibles, since we're studying the Bible. That would make sense, right? So, 1 Peter 1 and 2 is what we're going to be looking at tonight as we learn about living in travel mode. Now, many of you guys may know I wasn't here last weekend because I was in Montana. And I had a great trip. In fact, I brought some pictures to show you guys. Check out some pictures. There's Jen on the ride. She's sleeping. There's me with some scary beef jerky that I found in some gas station store that really freaked me out. Jen in a rocking chair. Me in a rocking chair. Yeah. And there's my whole family. That's who we went to visit. We were out having a picnic. And what's next? Some little duckies that we saw in the pond there. Those are real. Those are ducks being scared of me and running away. In fact, one of those big ones hissed at me. He stuck his tongue out and hissed at me. And it really scared. I hissed right back. That's a buffalo calf. And we saw that in Yellowstone as we were driving back from Montana. That's a big buffalo that you see his hindquarters right there. And that's his little, I guess her little baby coming out the road after her. That's a bird on top of my mom's car. That bird was like everywhere and it was just perching on people's cars. I don't know why. That's a picture I took in the Teton National Park. You guys ever get a chance to go through there? It's amazing. We drove through it at sunrise, so it was pretty cool. And this last picture is buffaloes crossing the road. That's how close these buffaloes were. You could touch them, I guess, if you wanted to, but we'll learn the consequences of that here in just a minute. But so that was my trip in pictures. And if you guys ever, I know most of you guys have probably gone on vacation somewhere, whether it's to Santa Fe, I guess, if that's a vacation for you, or Disneyland, or, you know, wherever you go on vacation. But vacation is a much different, it's a totally different way of living. Because there's different people, there's different places, different events, different things to do and see. It's a totally new place and a new way of living. That's what it is when you go on vacation. But and so when you're at home, there are certain rules that you probably have to abide by. Your mom probably has certain rules. I know one for me was no pillow fights in the house. And most rules, I found growing up, most rules started because I broke them. You know what I mean? Like I broke something having a pillow fight, so they had to make a rule where there was no pillow fights in the house, you know? Different things like that. No chewing with your mouth open. You know, you guys have heard it, I'm sure. If you can't say something nice, I'm sure your parents never tell you guys that, right? You guys are always saying nice things, so that's good. Maybe one of the rules is you can only have, like, 16 Mountain Dews a day, not 17, you know? I don't know how many your parents allow. Hopefully not 16, because you guys would probably all die at the age 14 or something. But so at home, there's certain rules. There's ways you have to live when you're at home. However, when you're traveling, there's often different things and ways that you have to act. You're expected to act a different way than you may be at home or follow different rules. In fact, when I went to Yellowstone Park, I encountered this because they gave us a newspaper and it had some flyers in it and it had lists of things that it was unsafe or illegal for us to do, okay? And some of those included feeding the animals or walking off the paths that they had and all of these different things. I did get this flyer here, and I'll show it up here on the screen, but it says, speed kills more than 100 bears, elk, bison, deer, moose, wolves each year. Slow down and save a life. So they had to tell us to slow down. And then, but my favorite part was the back of that flyer. It said, warning, many visitors have been gored by buffalo. Buffalo can weigh 2,000 pounds and sprint at 30 miles per hour, 3 times faster than you can run. These animals may appear tame, but are wild, unpredictable, and dangerous. Do not approach buffalo. Look at that guy going for a ride there. He's all, hey, look at the nice buffalo. Ah, you know, and flying through the air. I also, all over, if you guys have ever been to Yellowstone, you know it's got Old Faithful. It's got all these geysers and pools of hot water. In fact, most of these geysers have water so hot that it's boiling. Okay? So if you were to touch it, or if it was to touch you, it would hurt a lot. You'd probably end up with scars because of it. So they had this sign all over, this sign here, right here, and it says dangerous ground, but look at what the kid's doing on the bottom. Let's get a close-up of that. He's standing on a geyser, okay? And he's, I think that's the beginning of stages of him blowing up. I don't know for sure, because I've never seen it happen. But look at the other people on the other side. That girl's all, oh no. And that other guy's all, ah, he'll probably die. I don't know what to do really about that. Poor kid. Man, I hope he makes it all right. What a nice man. But when we were at Yellowstone, we had all these rules that we had to follow that were different because we were traveling. Because we were travelers, because we were strangers in the land, we had to follow different rules. You know, I was never told growing up by my mom, Kevin, don't approach the buffalo, okay? My mom never told me that. There were never buffalo for me to approach. And I'm sure if there were, then I would have been told that, but there never was. And so because we were in a different land, we were in a different place, we were strangers in this place, we had to act a different way. Well, Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 gives us some insight. It says, but we are citizens of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we eagerly wait for him to return as our Savior. So if we're citizens in heaven, then that means we are not citizens of earth. That means we're travelers. We're strangers in a land that's not our home. And so when it comes down to daily life, traveling is not the way that you normally live. You don't normally live out of a suitcase, going from house to house. However, as a Christian, you always should be living this way. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to learn some important things as we learn what it is to be living in travel mode. So let's, if you guys are in 1 Peter chapter 1, we're going to flip around to a couple passages, but let's just start in verse 17. It says, and if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers. Verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. So number one on the back of your bulletins, if you're taking notes, when you're not at home, remember Christ. So we've just learned from Philippians chapter 3 that we, none of us, as Christians, are at home yet. Where's our home? If we're Christians, where's our real home? Heaven. And so earth is kind of the place that we're hanging out until we finally get home. So when you're not at home, which none of us Christians are, we should be remembering Christ. And I love what it says in verse 17 at the very end, there that we just read. It says, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. It reminds me of a hotel, you know. Maybe you guys have gone to a hotel before and they tell you, enjoy your stay. They may tell you a couple things of how you need to conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay. And it's interesting to me that Peter uses that terminology there because it reminds me that we're not staying here on earth. This is just a temporary time that we have to hang out until we finally get home. And you guys know how it is at hotels. It's not always the most comfortable place, is it? It's a little out of the ordinary. The beds aren't very comfortable normally, especially when you're 6'5", okay? You don't fit in them quite well. I slept on like 4 different beds on my trip, and any that I had all by myself, I slept diagonally so that I could fit, okay? It's not the most comfortable thing. I've never once laid down in a hotel bed and said, man, I wish I could take this bed home. It's so comfortable, you know? Never said that. It's not that comfortable. And when you're staying in a place like that, oftentimes it's somewhat uncomfortable because it's not what you're used to. It's not your home. But sometimes in life, we get a little too comfortable. We get a little too comfortable hanging out in this place that's not really our home. This is not heaven. This is a place, earth is a place that we are passing through. And so how is it that we're supposed to conduct ourselves throughout that time? Instead of feeling at home on earth, we should remember Christ. We should remember the comfort that Christ provides for us. And as we remember Christ, how is it that we should conduct ourselves? Well, in verse 17, it says that one of the ways, the very last word in that verse, is fear. Now, this is a different kind of fear than getting gored by a buffalo or blown up by a geyser, okay? This is a different kind of fear. This isn't being afraid. He's not saying you should be afraid of God while you're on earth. This word right here is speaking of reverence or respect or honor. So while we're here on earth, we should have reverence and respect and honor for God. In fact, check out what Jesus said. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. He said, "Don't be afraid of those who want to kill you. They can only kill your body. They cannot touch your soul. Fear only God who can destroy both soul and body in hell." We should be honoring, respecting God. That's what that godly fear is all about. So Peter has just said here that God, without partiality, judges according to each one's work. In other words, the things that you do, God's going to ask you about. Why were you living that way? I told you very clearly in my word that that was wrong. Why was it that you continued to live that way? He might ask. God is going to be judging us according to our works. And so God, as the judge, deserves our reverence and our respect. He's the creator. Let me remind you that it's God, his son, Jesus Christ, that paid the price to set us free. And that's what I love. That's what verse 18 is talking all about. It talks about how we were redeemed. It certainly wasn't by something that we did. Now it's talking about how we were redeemed. Okay, now that word redeemed basically means to purchase or pay the price for in order to set free. Okay, so Jesus paid the price for us in order to set us free from sin. Let me give you a good example of that. This week, my wife and I are hungry. We decided that we were going to be compassionate, loving souls and help out the tacos at Garduño's, okay? So, you know, we said, really, you know, I'd really rather have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. However, we know that there are tacos in need of freedom at Garduño's, you know? And so, you know what, we called up Garduño's and we said, hey, do you have any tacos? And they said, yeah. And we said, all right, we'll be over there. We'll take care of business, okay? So we walk in and we say, give us those tacos. And we order those tacos. We pay for those things. And thank God he used me to set those tacos free. You know, they were caged in that kitchen back there. It was so hot and humid and I felt so badly for them, you know. And I my heart just went out to those tacos and I just said, they need to fulfill their purpose in life. And that is to fulfill my taste buds, you know? So I went there and Jen and I walked in and we paid that price. We redeemed those tacos because we purchased them in order to set them free. And that's what we did. And man, they were good. I can get an amen for that. I like that. Very nice. I don't think I've ever gotten an amen before. I like that. Very nice. Now I got 30. So redemption. It's the price that Jesus paid for us so that we could be set free from our sins. Verse 18 tells us that it certainly was not done. Our freedom was not gained or earned by something that we did or something that we have. And you say, well, but I have the newest iPod. Oh, nice. God doesn't care about that. But I went to church every day of my life. Cool. Did you know Jesus? That's all that he cares about, is a relationship with him. So how is it that we're supposed to make it to heaven? How is it that we're redeemed? How is it that we're set free? Verse 19, with the precious blood of Christ. It was Jesus' death on the cross that made it possible for us to have life. And I'm so thankful for that, for Jesus. He's the only way I could ever make it to heaven. He's the only way any of us could. And so what are some practical ways that when we're away from home, when we're on earth, we can be remembering Christ? What are some practical ways? Well, we can remember who's in control, that God's running our life and it's not you. He's the judge. We can also remember that Jesus Christ paid the price to set us free. So since we're not at home, we're not in heaven yet, we need to be daily remembering Christ. Number two, when you're not at home, represent Christ. Flip over to 1 Peter chapter 2. Look at verse 11. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak evil when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Now, I don't know about you guys, but in verse 11 there, I've never before in my life been called a sojourner or a pilgrim, okay? I don't know if you guys get those names all the time. I don't. But let me tell you, don't get mad. Peter's not calling you a bad name, all right? Although maybe some people wouldn't like to be called that, but these words here are basically strangers or travelers. It's someone who is in a different land that's not their home. It's pretty easy oftentimes to pick these people out of the crowd. In fact, when I went to Montana this last week, I think people probably picked me out of the crowd as not belonging there. In fact, I drove the wrong way on a one-way street 3 times on the same street, okay? I don't know how I did that, but I would like go down the street and I realized, oh, I missed my turn. And I pull in this parking lot and I'd be driving. I'd be like, oh no, this is not good. You know, turn off into the next parking lot. Did it another time. Then I'm driving down the street the other way and I go to make a left-hand turn the wrong way onto the street. And everybody's like, traffic stopped. And they were all, is that guy really going to go the wrong way? You know, freaking out. I think it was pretty obvious to pick me out that I did not belong in that land. But as Christians, we should also be very easy to pick out, but for a different reason. Not because we're going the wrong way on a one way, but because we're going the right way on a one way. There's only one way to heaven, and we're headed that way, and everybody else is going in the wrong direction. And so we should be easy to pick out. And it's because of that love that we have for Jesus Christ that we should stand out. And when you go on vacation, you are a representative of your hometown. In fact, some people may have never been to your hometown. Maybe you guys have encountered this before. You know, being from New Mexico, a lot of people don't even realize that's one of the 50 states, you know? I don't know if you guys have ever had somebody ask you this before. You say, oh yeah, I'm from New Mexico. And they say, oh really? Do you speak Spanish? You know, like all slow. Like it was all of a sudden very hard for me to understand them. Or they say, oh, great. How long are you in the United States for? Well, let's see. How long has New Mexico been a part of the United States, you know? And it gets a little frustrating maybe. But you may be the only taste of New Mexico that someone gets. You could tell them all about how dry it is, how cool it is that the tumbleweeds blow across the road, you know? And it's just so awesome and you're so excited about how pretty and brown it is here in Albuquerque. You may be the only taste that anybody gets of New Mexico. Well, as a Christian, did you know that you may be the only taste of Christ that someone may ever get? God has put you in the exact place that you're at for a specific reason. It's to talk to the people that you live with, that you go to school with, that you hang out with, because you may be the only taste of Christ that those people ever get. Are you representing him well? In 2 Corinthians 5:20, Paul says that he is an ambassador. An ambassador. That means a representative. Fifth graders, you guys may remember, we've been sending representatives or ambassadors to your classrooms for about the last month. We've had different leaders come over. Now, imagine if they would have represented Velocity in the wrong way. They would have just been all sad when they come over there, you know. Hey, in Velocity, we just like to be quiet all the time. We just play the quiet game, you know. And then they say, yeah, I guess you guys can go to Velocity if you want to, but, you know, it's not that fun. And there's alligators and, you know, and they're just kind of sad, right? Now, do you think you'd really want to go? Probably not. Mom, they said there's alligators. I'm not going, you know. Be a little scared. Thankfully, they represented us a little better because you guys are here. And I'm thankful for that. But the way that you represent something often can get that picture of that thing in someone's mind. And hopefully, your representation of Christ will leave someone else wanting more of what you have in your life. That's what representing Christ is all about. Your love for Jesus Christ should be contagious. People shouldn't be able to resist it. So what are some practical ways to do that? Well, it tells us in verse 11, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. In other words, stay away, cut yourself off from anything that might slow you down from getting closer to Jesus Christ. That's the number one priority in life. Because there's stuff all around you warring for your soul. Verse 12 tells us to have our conduct honorable among others. We should be honorable in the way that we live. We all sang tonight, I will not be silent. I will not be quiet anymore. Were those just words or did you mean it? Because if you meant it, that means your words and your actions are going to be loud for Jesus Christ. You're a representation of Jesus. Verse 12 goes on to tell us that by our lifestyle, others should begin to change their lives because they've seen what God does in someone's life. So let me challenge you with this. Are you guys living in travel mode? Do you guys understand that you're not home yet? And now is the chance that God has given you to share to the others around you what he's done for you. How are you conducting yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in this foreign land? Would God be pleased? At the end of this life, is he going to be happy with the way that you lived? Are you remembering Christ? And are you representing him to others? If you need Jesus in your life tonight, let me tell you that he's the only way you can get to heaven. There's no other way. There's no amount of times you can read the Bible or go to church. There's no amount of good things you could do to ever earn God's love. The only way you can get it is by accepting Jesus as your Savior. If you need to do that tonight, we're going to have leaders available at the very end. So let's go ahead and pray, and we'll be dismissed. Jesus, you paid the price for us in order to set us free. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for our freedom. We love you so much, Jesus. Help us to live for you. Help us to remember you every day and to live our lives representing you. In your name we pray. Amen. You guys have an awesome night.